Dumelang Thobela, hello, and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues, Herman Molloy and Nandi Ntini. Guys, say hi for the listeners out there.
Hi.
We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you stick with us as we look at the week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies, and laugh about the weird ones. Let's get comfortable and let's dive right in. So, Nandi, you have a topic for us that's interesting and has been bubbling and been going around. Just introduce it for us.
Hi, guys. So, today we have the JMPD officials. So, apparently, these guys, officers actually were issued a suspension because bebe groover ngemoto yasemsebenzini basically. So they went partying, so it was like a picnic, I think, and they were drinking alcohol and partying and doing all of those things near the vehicle of the JMPD. So there's a video circulating, and you know how people are in the social media.
It was a big mess.
It also shows us, which this is how they actually behave, even when they stop cars in highways. We could, like, as on my part, I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't shocked, because the JMPD officers, they just do whatever they want to do because they think they're in charge of the roads. And yeah.
Herman, thoughts?
So, for me, it's not, as Nandi said, it's not shocking, because we know these people use them. I mean, a couple of days ago or weeks, we had the same conversation about police officer who was parking at someone's place. We assume that it's a girlfriend. So it's not surprising to have officials using state resources to satisfy their needs or wants, bobo.
Yeah.
And but basically this one, okay, I think they said it's still under investigation, but I think I heard from Power FM this guy saying that it seems like it was an NGO function authorized, bobo. But then at some point, I don't think they were allowed to go and drink, but they were going to an NGO function, something like that. But yeah, I might be wrong.
But even if it's an year-end function, you're not, I don't think year-end function means go publicly drink with the JMPD bus. I don't think that's what they mean. A year-end function, usually we know the department's like going out and all out. They have a hall. They have people dressing up. This one just seems like an all-white party, and they started to do it.
Organized by WhatsApp. To say, you remember that the white t-shirt that you have? This way tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we're going to get on the JMPD bus.
We're going to rock and roll.
Guys.
But it's embarrassing, eh? It's embarrassing to have officials misusing resources. I mean, when we spoke about this thing, we were speaking about the issue of you'll be calling the police station and they will tell you there's no van.
There's no van.
Same thing. At the highway, the motorist, the taxi driver specifically, are busy having a field day. And officials who were supposed to be there to make sure that law is followed and people abide by the law are busy grooving, having nice time there. So it's actually sad, Drew. And then we complain about crime. Crime is in many forms, many terms. Yeah, this is also a form of crime that is being done by officials from GMPD.
And I think it's just been normalized for too long, because very you'd see them all in one van going somewhere or going to eat something or somewhere, visiting something.
Always, they're going to buy bed cakes.
Exactly, but
it's
not
like
doing the job.
Even the police van, you will find Matutazin climbing on top of the police van. It's like, and then when it trends on TikTok or Twitter, we'll be like, yeah, this is South Africa, we are cool. Until you need to call a police van and they tell you there's no van, you remember, shit. I used to laugh. I used to laugh at the time I didn't need it. But yeah, it happens.
Let's do that then. So yeah, Herman, Getagiri, do you want to tell us about the new hole they found?
So these guys, the six guys, were escaping a mine, eh? So the security noted, oh man, these people are from underground, Obo. Mm-hmm. And then when the police and the security noted there are movements, they didn't call the police. The police nabbed the guys, the six guys. The six guys said, guys, actually, it's not only us.
Mm.
We have about 100 and something of us down there, Obo.
Mm.
But yeah, on Thursday, General Fanny Masemola went to the scene just to assess because they were continuing with the rescue. This is what he had to say.
As of yesterday, three bodies were retrieved, and the operation has to be halted because it was getting dark and unsafe. Thus far, a total of 16 people have been retrieved from this shaft, and according to those that have resurfaced, if they are telling us the truth, there are more than 100 illegal miners that are still underground in this shaft. It should also be noted that those that have been retrieved will be arrested and face various charges. Most of them are illegal in the country, so they will face charges related to the Immigration Act and also charges related to the mining that they were doing without the applicable permit.
The rescue mission seems like it's more efficient
than the one
in Northwest. Mara, I think it's about quantity again. They are 4,000 apparently. Yeah, you have 150. So they will be done by this weekend, Dobo.
No, but even if it's 4,150, Herman, if we can be able to, because they moved with efficiency here in the Mpumalanga, in the area. They moved with efficiency. They got the ropes tied down and everything. And you can see in the videos, you literally see when one comes up, immediately K9 unit has that one and catches it and moves them to the side.
That's a count.
Literally moves them to the side quickly and they're ready for another one. So what's up with the ones in Stilfontein? We now must beg them.
Stilfontein, they want beef, chief.
Now they sent them Mareo.
They don't want Mareo. They don't want to come out. They want beef.
They sent them Mareo, Nandeep, during the week. I think they sent them mini boxes. I didn't see how many, but they looked humongous amounts, guys.
And they sent the letter up again. They said, no, we don't want Mareo. We want beef. Mareo is not helping us. We are dying here. We want beef.
They also demanded ARVs at some point. Like,
I really think they should just smoke them out at this moment because they are just demanding instead of resurfacing.
When you speak about smoke them out, so Jake, MEC of Community of Safety in Mpumalanga, was in conversation with Newsroom Africa. He said, yeah, the conversation to close the mine, it's there. Society is calling for that. But we can't do that because once we do that, it's genocide.
Yeah.
And Aldrin asked him, who's making the call and why? And he was like, the society, because the society is telling us that these people kidnap our sisters and take them down there, which is a crime on its own. And when they decide to go down there, it's also a crime. So they do double crime. So at this point, we don't know whether we should close the mines, smoke them out, or smoke them in.
Or give them more beef, or give them ARVs. There's a lot that's going on, Shame.
Okay, Nandi?
I like from on my side now, I think it's just a lot. Like when I'm saying there's a lot that's going on, and to speak about the issue of genocide now, I think also the minister is caught in between because they have to do the right thing. These people are criminals, and now they have to consider also What if there are also young girls that were taken that are inside there, they're struggling to come out? So it's just a lot. These people should just resurface and we should move on with our lives. Yo.
No, but my thing is that, you know, that whole conversation of, I think even Hemen came back, talked about it last week, about your constitution. Guys, you're the constitution, I think, is screwing us over in this particular case. Because the constitution is the one that's saying, feed them. Even if they're criminals, feed them.
They become strong. They continue.
They're gonna continue because at this point we're giving them all the resources that we need. And kind of the communities
that are helping. Hey, yeah. But either way, Nandi, I'm not sure if you have realized, Nkwena. Most, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But the numbers show us that these people are illegal immigrants that are coming to South Africa to dig out the gold and try living, as Nandi said. I'm not confirming that, Nandi. But yeah, I'm speaking about undocumented migrants and Africa, the rest of Africa. Ukwena has some a topic that she wants to share with us.
Okay, Kwena. Guys. So this past, not even this past week, I think it was yesterday, if I had to be correct. Or no, it was Wednesday. So the president kind of spoke on multiple things. He revealed multiple multiple revelations that kind of wrecked the internet, but kind of stirred a lot of strife within on Twitter with South Africans. So two things, right? The first thing is about how he says that there needs to be an ease of trade between South Africa and Nigeria. I don't think anybody saw this coming. It was very shocking. Why do you mean specifically Nigeria? Like, why not say African countries, you know? So now he's like, we want them to be able to, like, businesses, they want actually more business people from Nigeria to be basically pumping their money into South Africa and investing more. Let's take a listen to that audio clip.
The government continues with its efforts to improve the ease of doing business in South Africa. We want to enable investors to promote and operate their businesses in a manner that will enable them to pursue various opportunities in various sectors of the economy. We look forward to seeing more Nigerian companies investing in South Africa. In fact, we want to see Nigerian products on the shelves of South African shops. Our efforts to create a favorable environment include our simplified visa process for Nigerian business people to travel to South Africa, qualifying Nigerian business people can be granted a 5-year multiple entry visa. In addition, tourists from Nigeria are now able to apply for a visa without even submitting a passport. We expect that this 11th session of our Binational Commission will enable us to consolidate cooperation in a number of other areas.
So basically he's saying that now, and they also want to make it easier for Nigerians to come to South Africa. So it's a matter of, they can apply visas without, I think he said without a fee or not,
passport.
Without costs, was it?
A passport.
Without a passport, yes. Yeah. They can apply naturally and it's a very easy process for them. And obviously there was a lot of, I don't want to use the word outrage, but there were a lot of people on Twitter who were very, very much against it. They did not like the idea. And I think we all know that Vele South Africa and Nigeria, we don't really have a, you know, loving relationship. So with this news coming and Ramaphosa saying, no, there needs to be a relationship between us. Like, what do you guys think, Nandi?
Just firstly, I want to find out, are we gaining anything from Nigeria as a country? Mm. Are they giving us minerals or resources or anything? Maybe there's something that we don't know. But on my part, I really think Ramaphosa is just screwing himself over by doing this. Like, once again, the ANC is just doing as it pleases with South Africa. They basically think they own South Africa. And I don't know if he's ignorant, but he should just visit Joburg and then decide if he wants to continue with this thing.
I mean, there were some people on Twitter who were even now calling for Ramaphosa to even resign now. For him, everyone is literally saying Ramaphosa must just step down. We're tired of him. We've given him a chance. This is the last straw.
I think he's also tired as well. Like, he should just.
Hey man, thoughts.
So one thing, this thing of Nigeria, it shows how South Africans are depressed with drugs, because allegedly these people bring drugs to the country, or are the masters who control drugs. So even when President Ramaphosa announced that, okay, this is how things should be between us and South Africa, that's when you started seeing posts, hashtag Ramaphosa must fall, because people want nothing to do with Nigeria at this point. And I think at some point we should sit down and discuss it as South Africans to say, actually, what is happening? Even today, when you say, sorry, people are calling for Ramaphosa to step down, there are people who are on the ground today as we speak now, who are marching and demanding that President Ramaphosa, it's either you review what you said and take it back, which you can't because you had already signed
and everything. Yeah.
Oh, you step down, chief, and go and go to your para farm and stay there, enjoy the rest of your living days.
Yeah.
So for me, guys, this topic we know. We are not saying all Nigerians are wrong.
Yeah.
But we have seen Nigerians that live in Hilpo. We have seen Nigerians that live in Sunnyside. We have seen Nigerians that live in other places whereby it's either they turn our young girls or young women into either prostitutes or drug mules.
Mm.
So we need strong border rules.
Yeah.
Whereby we can ensure that when you come to South Africa, to secure the bank and help the economy of South Africa. Don't come to South Africa to run things for South Africans. Yeah. At this point, yeah, that's my take.
But maybe, you know, you never know. Maybe this SA Nigeria Binational Commission can actually help that and, you know. Nandi, you didn't even let me finish.
Let's close the border, Gangani, and fix our problems. I mean, we have too many things. They will come. We'll invite them in 20-something, but not now.
Okay, guys. So the second thing he was also speaking about was basically he reshuffled the cabinet, right? So he moved people around, moving justice minister, well, someone who was just put them was former minister. now former justice minister Menzi Simelane to Walter Mbi Simelane to the human settlements portfolio, and then he moved to Kubayi to the Minister of Justice,
so she swapped them, he
literally just swapped them around.
In order to ensure the effectiveness of cabinet in delivering to its mandate and in accordance with section 91(2) of the constitution, President Ramaphosa has decided to make the following changes to the national executive. Ms. Mamoloko Tryphosa Kubayi, currently the Minister of Human Settlements, is appointed the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development. Ms. Thembi Simelane, currently the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, is appointed the Minister of Human Settlements.
And I was having a discussion with a few of my colleagues. When we mention colleagues, we mention journalists. Everyone is a colleague in the journalism world. And I was out in the field yesterday and we were talking about it. And it was a matter of, like, he could have moved her to some other department or some other faction.
No, Queen.
No, but let me finish. Let me finish. Yeah. Let me finish. No, but clearly, guys.
No, she must throw her out until she's cleansed.
No, guys. If we're speaking about throwing people out, let's first talk about Angie Motshekga.
Angie Motshekga, about we know her failures, right? Sharp. But there's no corruption scandal that is coming so far. We know her 30% what he did and destroyed young people. Okay, sharp lady. We are blaming her for that. But Usmelani, you are from Limpopo. You should be the one who's angrier than me, actually. Mm. Because you know VBS. You know Abu Koko, Bebevuga, Balsala, Elainini.
Yes.
Abu Tri, Exeni. Because of VBS, Bachibafuni Malia.
Yes.
So now when you shift her, that means you say, I recognize over there's something fishy. There's a skeleton in your closet, but you know what? We'll visit it. Just stand over there.
No, but you know why I'm saying? Why that she did the move that he made? I don't agree with the switching. That's point blank. Mm. I just think Kubai was doing a really good job when it
with
came
what?
To human settlement.
With what?
With the Department of Human Settlement. I think, Kubai was working hard before EGNU, guys. Let's give her credit for Bishop. Fine, yes, she could have been kicked out. But the argument that now we were having was, which other lesser department could he have moved her to? Because we know there's no way he was going to kick her out.
There's no less department that she can go to. And Ukuba Aichu, I don't think she has a good track record from my point of view.
I think she does.
No, from my point of view. But yeah, Nandi, before we escalate these things, because moods are high here. What do you think?
Well, my take is basically that Cyril Ramaphosa is just learning from the best in terms of reshuffling.
Reshuffling at 5 a.m.
He learned from the best. But in terms of Uthembi, I also think maybe if she was at least suspended until everything else.
Nandi, I agree with you totally. We are not saying she's a criminal. Okay, yet.
Yes.
We are saying she must account. She must answer to us.
But guys, now here's my thing. You guys are saying that Uthembi must answer and she must account. I'm not disagreeing that she's a criminal, right? But you guys are so hypocritical. In a sense, Yauri. Ramaphosa is a criminal.
We've been saying he must answer now. Just because we are taking this one now does not mean we are forgetting about the past one. The Parapara one, we still want it. We are waiting for Constitutional Court to make a decision and we'll tell. If we don't see an eye to eye with the Constitutional judgment or whatever, we'll say it. Orecho, Chief Ramaphosa, come, let's answer. And speaking about Parapara, Uzungula has just won a court for UPP to review her report because Galega had said she didn't see anything that Ramaphosa did.
Yes.
So now she must go back and say, okay, guys, I might have seen something, but I chose to close the eye.
My chat is just simple, guys. At this point, the whole government is infested with criminals. I mean, you look at your minister of sports, he's an ex-convict, for heaven's sake.
And the fact that Ukwena wants to compare Parapara with VBS, it's two different things.
I'm not
the VBS thing. Yes, it was a crime that the money came to South Africa, right? Yes. It was a crime that he did not report it. So, it's a crime against the state. It's not a crime against Abogogo, those who invested
money. Yeah. Yes.
There's someone out there, God forbid, or something. There's someone who was supposed to go to varsity after completing matric. And Ugogo had made sure, you know what, at least I can cover 5 months or 6 months in rent. And I'm investing this money because I know it's going to come. And we're going to be good. Or there's someone who left his house, who was building, and then invested the money and then did not get the money. So it's a crime against multiple victims. Ramaphosa, yes, it's a crime against the state. And the state must make sure that he accounts for that. Usmelani must come and tell us why did she receive a gift, as she says, or a loan. It's not a loan, Chief. I can't loan you 500K as a friend. There's no way. Even if we have millions or billions, there's no way Mtsipe can go and... we saw with Onto. But you will be there. I'm not saying anything, but we'll be there. That's all I'm saying. We'll be there.
let's move it along. Let's move it along, guys. So, Herman wrote a story based off a court judgment about a Sangoma who got money from IRAF. Well, the Mpumalanga High Court ordered the road accident fund to pay the traditional healer 1.2 million for the loss of earnings after she lost her sense of smell and taste in a car accident. Herman, tell us more, please.
So, Kwebu was a Sangoma in 2012, and then in 2022 she got into a car accident. And then she went to RAF to claim the money for road accident fund, and they wanted to give her far less. And she was like, "Hey, Chief, what you're giving me, it's not enough, because now I can't practice. I can't dance because I have injuries. I can't consult because I'm scared that my clients will see me, because she had lost his skin in the face." And she's saying that, "I can't smell anymore. And this thing, traditional healing, needs someone who can smell things and taste things, because you need to taste those herbs and smell those herbs." And IRAF was like, "Yeah, we understand, but what we can pay, we can pay you damages, right? For loss of any, it's not like you have a payslip and you can say, okay, your payslip, maybe a year you were earning 5,000 or 500 million.
Yeah.
That's when we can calculate to say, okay, maybe let's..." And she was like, "Hey, Chief, I'm not working because of this thing." And then IRAF lost the court case. And the judge was like, "You know what? I think 1.2, it's fair and appropriate for her." Which is very interesting.
I think it's also very interesting. I think, guys, I feel like, first of all, I think we need to figure out how RAF works. Because so now anybody who's in a car accident can just go claim money.
When we are in the, I think it's municipality roads, national roads, provincial roads, if you get into a car accident, then you can claim the money.
But how does RAF in Ghana that when are you in an accident? Like, this is why I say that. I feel because like RAF is just there to be manipulated.
Because the roads have potholes that ANC government is failing to fix.
Remember, I carried these potholes. I have never seen a pothole on the highway or going or from or even passing Petroport. I've never seen it. I've never seen a pothole.
Nandi, so what's your take? Before Kwena Alwana, Kwena, I seen the moon of fight. Today,
on this take, I don't know.
Skeptical.
I think I'm gonna side with Ukwen.
I'll say why.
It's tricky.
No, she deserves the money, Joe. She deserves the money.
No, do you know what? I was about to say the most like horrendous thing, but I'm gonna say it anyway. If
I don't say it anyway.
I was going to say that for the fact that she's a traditional, like she couldn't see herself getting into a car accident.
And you say I'm a bad person. You say I'm a bad person.
No, guys, but let's discuss this. You couldn't see yourself getting into a car accident. And then on top of that, you still want to go to court and argue about the fact that when you lost your sense of smell and you can't smell.
Great, now we're gonna cut that part.
No, guys. I've been rough goes through a lot. Honestly, not on any case, man, that is taken to court and rough has to fight, I'm always going to be on their side. Because some people bring up ridiculous things. How are we supposed to know your earnings? What if you actually are a lousy traditional healer? What if you weren't doing a job? What if you were a lousy traditional healer? You weren't even getting paid that much, man. And now you're using rap to get money.
I didn't say anything. So, Andy, like the here's my thing, man. Ugogo, no, let's not say Ugogo because we don't know what type of traditional healer she is. So for me, Joe, it makes sense because I mean you have 2 years of not practicing, and we don't even know how much you will make. Maybe she was a good healer, whereby abantu bapatala 5K for consulting, because you have consulting, you have where they give you the herbs, you have whereby they cleanse you and everything. So maybe she made good money for it, bro. Hence, the court found it appropriate to give her 1.2 million.
Guys, Raf goes through a lot, honestly.
Should compensate. Should compensate.
I compensate for things that didn't even cause, guys. But let's go on, hey. So, guys, Nandi did a whole feature, guys. She did a whole feature on the spaza shops and the deadlines and how spaza shop owners are finding the process lengthy and complicated. Nandi, please tell us about it.
Sure. So, I mean, I didn't see it as a problem, Minane, until I actually spoke to organizations and spaza shop owners. I mean, some of the organizations actually spoke with me. Some spaza shop owners have decided to stop stocking up and others have closed down because of this whole issue of compliance and registration. And what really triggered me was that this old man said that now that we are taking charge of our own economy in the townships, now the government wants us to register. The government wants me to put ceiling on my garage, wants me to put windows and paint. And that alone will cost me a minimum of 10,000 rands. And I don't have that money anymore. And COVID, I don't have that money because COVID hit me hard. And to me, it just felt like it's a good thing if the government wants to fight this food poisoning thing. But on the other hand, he is frustrating and stressing and standing in the line of people who are trying to make their lives better and take care of their families in a spaza shop. I mean, if we can just listen to this one lady who has been running her shop for over 20 years. We can take a listen to that.
In the Bema spaza shop, we understand, Mara, the thing of e-notice is a short notice, at least if you give us at least 2 months so that we can fix our own things. Because it process, let process in the more figure la pena by Jigisa, but lenda I register. When you go to must stand who's a token Zolungisa, Umunye, it is not or she's not serious. So, Bestella Nisniges is cut, is enough, is cut, Ngoba la pena. sibaningi abantu banamaspizer shop. So besicela nje ukuthi nisinikeze enough time. Like now they are busy preparing, they are busy fixing indaba ye registration ejimistin. And 21 days bazoba bangakacedi ngoba there are many, many spaza shops. So we are begging by the grace of God so that you give us enough time.
Okay, guys. So just, Gwena, you were also doing the story. Just any thoughts, guys, as to what's...
My thing is that I'm a little bit... The more we dive deeper into this whole spaza shop story, the more I get a little bit confused, honestly, because... When Umayile MEC, what's his first name, Kana?
Lebogang
Maile, Economic Development had a press briefing, I think about 2 weeks back. He spoke about how the deadline, the application period, is literally just for people to apply. Application forms, just NG. So it's not the tabayagore, you have to... go through the process of tax evasion, like do SARS and all that, you know, do the whole process of up and down. It's just that you need to have your proper documentation. You need to have documentation in regards to, obviously, ID. That's the first thing they need. They also want to know which place where you're going to be registering it. Is it? And so for me, I would understand if who would be complaining more. I would understand it if the government or the king, the municipalities would be complaining more about the deadline being very tight as to... There's many, many tech shops in the numerous municipalities, guys. Mm. So I would understand if they said that the matter is, you know, is a tight deadline for them to do all of these things. But when it comes to an application is more, I feel like it's more, and the way Umayile explained it, it's not a them saying, yeah, you're going to get approved right there and there when you with the application process. It just means that you are just going to give us the documentation of where you want to open a spaza shop, what type of spaza shop you be selling, what type of goods will you be selling. That's literally all it is. And that's like, I'm struggling to see where the problem is with the spaza shops, because I'm struggling, like I said, I'm struggling to see it, because the state says it's just applications. And then you have literally organizations, spazos like organizations that are talking about zoning certificates, health study approvals and official documents and whatever. And then, but the state is like, we're not saying that. We're not looking for that. Unless there needs to be a further explanation to me, because another way I understood it was that you are literally just telling the state that I want to open a spazo shop in Soweto on William Drive, Kai, and I'll be selling these type of products. Here are my identification. Here's my ID document. Here are my former previous documents that I used to have. You go through that, and I will come back to you. Hemen?
So, clearly, there's a group that is causing frustration.
Hmm.
And there's a group that is not interested in reading.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, firstly,
hmm,
we had... Articles, number of articles. It's not even so written,
yeah,
only. We have number of articles that are opening light or sharing light on how to apply, what you should do. And with part now, you can also apply online which is more thing. Convenient. And then we have those people who are saying, yeah, this is frustrating and everything. Those people just want to cause chaos. So, another thing with government, I think this thing they need to do with, we've been asking them, we have been like asking for information to say, make the information available to us as journalists so that we can deliver. They should make it simple. Ramaphosa should have stated now, which, okay, this is the procedure. And then after 21 days, this is what happens. At this point, we have to go back and say, hey, Chief, you said 21 days. So now what's happening?
Yeah.
Why do we have to come back to you, Chief? Because you could have said, okay, sharp, I'm giving everyone 21 days. If you are not registered or not have applied by 21 days or within 21 days, we're gonna shut down your establishment. And again, it's not even addressing the food porn issue.
Mm.
It's about the economy and everything, because you being registered does not mean you it's are
stopping. Yeah, there's a food porn.
What government should do, should hire more inspectors, health inspectors, who will go to townships on regular basis to find a cause and a solution. Because now, that one, who are Greek, I don't want to say matricless, but she's he's matricless. Ustein Hessen said, I think the chemical comes from foreign countries, but I'm not sure the report will prove for us. And Chief, are you giving us facts, or are you giving us your daydreams? So for me, I blame those who are causing the frustration, who keep on saying, no, this thing is frustrating. At that time, umuntu akona azanga ekulayini, like one time, ati, okay, let me go and try. He's just speaking from, but I keep on worrying. Yeah, this thing is not working. This thing, yeah. But when you say, Chief, have you went and tried to apply? You'll be like, no, I can't. So it's always that thing. So as a members of the public, we should always be aware of what we say, how we say it, and
I think people just should read more.
We should read.
I think people are lazy.
It's bad, Joe. South Africa is rated the last in terms of maths. And you all want to open spaza shops? No, we're gonna rob you with change. I'm like,
can you just stop it, heaven? But yeah, guys, but it is what it is. The deadline is approaching, so everyone who wants to open a spaza shop, go out there and apply.
There's an article, I'm sure,
explaining what you need.
Whatever publication that you love or enjoy, there's that article. One article that shows you what to do and how to do it. And guys, let's leave the frustrating part of it.
Okay, guys. So that's all for this week's news wrap. Guys, remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is the lovely Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, namely Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day, Spotlight, Gogo, Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me and my colleagues. Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.